I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to Busted Open's The Masters Class, part of the Busted Open Podcast. Please subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. We're available wherever you get your podcast. Also, we're now available on YouTube. So make sure you subscribe to our YouTube page. Hit that notification button so you get notified of all our new videos. Also, the holiday season is approaching, so go to podswag.com/bustedopen. And guys, today we have a very, very deep topic. And let me first introduce our Masters of the Ring, Bully Ray, Tommy Dreamer, Mark Henry. Thank you for being a part of the show today. And again, I think this is a very, very deep topic here, and it's about concussions and head trauma in pro wrestling. Just recently, John Moxley, in an interview with The Messenger, made some comments about his recent concussion at Grand Slam in Queens, New York, as a part of AEW. So I want to read Moxley's comments, and then I want to get your take, Bully, your take, Tommy, and your take, Mark. In the interview with The Messenger, Moxley said about his recent concussion, "I just kept getting progressively more lost and couldn't figure out where the F I was. Then I had this moment of clarity. Oh, I'm effed up. I got to get the F out of here." And then he goes on to say, in pro wrestling, it's a really touchy subject. Somebody's got to F and bring it up. Pro wrestling is such a strange thing. In football, if a guy goes down and he doesn't go back into the huddle, you know he's effed up. In pro wrestling, a lot of times it's hard to tell what's real and what's fake. Maybe a really experienced wrestler and a really experienced doctor who are trained to see signs of that shit are watching it on a separate feed. Even if they have a doctor close to ringside, what if the guy effing spills outside the ring? He doesn't see that. The doctor and wrestler are completely untethered to the creative portion of it. They have no idea nor any interest in what the story is, who wins, who loses, or how long it's supposed to go. If a guy effing spins around or something and the doctor goes, "Is he okay?" the wrestler can tell him, "That's just a pro wrestling thing. Don't worry." And then he goes on to say about possible solutions. As soon as the doctor sees a sign of somebody being concussed, he just hits the effing red button. Boom. This is over. No matter how much time is left, no matter if it's on live TV, it's just over and you figure it out from there. Now, Bully, I'll start with you because you've been very outspoken about this on Busted Open, about having a doctor at ringside. When certain things happened, the referee shouldn't get involved to check on these guys. It should be a doctor at ringside that checks on those wrestlers. So, Bully, what do you think of that, the solution, but ultimately everything that Moxley had to say in that interview?
First and foremost, in the beginning of the quote that you were reading, he said that somebody has to bring this up or somebody has to address it. And it's not addressed. It sounds like he's insinuating. The WWE does address this. The WWE has strict concussion protocol. We know that. It's been in place for a long time now. So I know specifically the WWE does it. We've talked on Busted Open. I know Mark brought this up, that there are doctors and medical people at ringside for AEW. Mark, what was the name of the doctor again that's there at ringside?
Dr. Sampson. He was with WWE when we were there.
Cool. So Dr. Sampson is at ringside for AEW. So it does sound like there are some protocols in place. It does sound like there are doctors around. Tommy, I'm almost positive at Impact we have a doctor around also. Maybe not right there at ringside, but I know there's a doctor in the house at all times.
Yes, and there are concussion protocols to take place in Impact. Now,
I can tell you for sure that when I was working at Ring of Honor, there was no doctor there. Nobody to attend to anybody if they got a really bad concussion. So what I'm trying to do is establish that I see certain things in place already, whether it's WWE who's taking it to the umpteenth degree, maybe NFL level-esque concussion protocol, AEW doing their part. So I'm not really sure what Mox means there. I believe that with what we know about concussions these days, or at least what we think we know, because Chris Nowinski will even tell you, we don't know really that much because the brain is so complicated. But there still should be somebody there that is trained enough. And how do you really know if somebody has a concussion? You know, there's various ways that a cop can register your speed. He can do it by the radar gun, or actually they can clock you in the distance that's closed between your car and their car, but they have to spend a lot of time in the simulator for that to withstand in court to be able to say you were drunk driving, you were impaired driving. How does a doctor at ringside really know if you have a concussion? Well, he has to spend enough time in concussion training to know this, because if a referee or a doctor asks a wrestler, are you okay? Can you keep going? The answer is going to be yes. There is not one guy on this screen or in those rings who are going to say, no, I'm out of it. Now, John goes on record to say that he knew he was out and he knew he had to get the hell out of there. So why didn't he get the hell out of there? Because wrestler kicks in and you just keep going. So I'm all for a doctor being at ringside, not just for a concussion, a broken leg, a torn pec, a twisted ankle, a whatever it is. Because as you know, as we all know, this ain't ballet. It's a very dangerous art form that we have dove into. Mark, you wanted to say something? Go ahead.
Yeah, we talked about this on a previous show this week, Bully, and you need somebody. You brought up a name, Scott Armstrong. Scott Armstrong, seen it all, done it all. Brit, born and raised with pro wrestling. He knows what's wrestling, and he knows what's not wrestling. And all of us know what's not wrestling. I know when somebody is off. I know when somebody shows up into the building and they've been drinking or smoking. I know when people, you have a conversation with somebody, the way they slur their words, or like, you know, if it's pills, alcohol, or weed. We know the difference because we're trained and we've experienced it all. We need to find one of those people in every wrestling company and say, this is a new position. You're here to recognize players or wrestlers' demeanor and movement and decide whether or not something is off and the match needs to be stopped or that they need to go on in the first place. How about that?
What I had recommended, Dave, is that if you don't have a dedicated doctor at ringside, or we should have a dedicated doctor at ringside that's there for anything that could go wrong, especially with all the risks that are taken with all the dives and the this and that that's going on today. Should have a doctor, but the new position that Mark is talking about that we spoke about last Monday or Tuesday was. Tuesday. What about some wrestlers who have been in the wrestling industry for a long time whose career hasn't exactly taken off or they haven't made it? You've been wrestling for 10, 15 years. You've achieved just a modicum of success, but nothing really big. Maybe you become a referee because now as a wrestler, you know how other wrestlers act in the ring. You get sent to concussion protocol training, and you might be able to see through the BS a little bit more when a wrestler's eyes are glazed over, but they're still telling you they're okay.
That's what I was going to say, because when you talked earlier about the instinct of a pro wrestler, and I get it. I think like any athlete, I'm fine. You know, let's go. A doctor is going to know when you're bullshitting. A doctor is going to know by the look of your eyes that, you know, there is something that's wrong. That happens in the NFL all the time. You know, a wide receiver or a quarterback that's been hit, he wants to go back in the game, but the doctor will know, all right, no, I could tell by the look of you in your eyes that you're not ready to get back on that field. I would think it's the same thing for pro. I think that's where Moxley's going at, where that they'll be able to tell that, you know, wait, no, that this match cannot continue.
Dave, you watch boxing.
Yeah.
Think about all the times you saw a fight where a fighter said, no, I'm good. He rubbed the gloves on the referee's chest, banged them together, and go out there and get his face knocked off because he can't see the punch now. He can't react. He sees the punch coming, but he can't get the gloves up. We see it in wrestling all the time.
You know, Dave, I went through a scary experience that I talked about many times about that very first Monday Night Raw roulette when we spun the wheel. It came up on TLC match, and that was the TLC match where this was TLC 4. Jericho gave me the bulldog. We over-rotated a little bit, and my brains were as scrambled can be. It was bad. It's a long story. Tommy can attest to it. I had zero business being in that ring. Zero. I should have been taken out immediately. But if you go back and watch that match, Jericho tells me everything I need to do. So after I suffer the worst concussion that I've ever suffered, and I've had 8 of them, I go and I deliver a Bubba bomb off of a ladder to Christian perfectly. I take a Van Damminator perfectly, and I backdrop Jeff Hardy over the top rope through a table perfectly. Meanwhile, I was a danger to myself and to every other wrestler in that ring because my brains were not working and I was on complete autopilot. This is where you need that trained referee / doctor's eye that can see between the bullshit. Because if you come up to Bubba Ray Dudley in the middle of a match and you tell him I'm going to stop the match, you're done for. Once I get a hold of you in the back, it's over. But you need somebody who's going to have the guts to protect you from yourself.
But that's the thing. I would hope if that match happened today, because that match was a while ago, if that match happened today, you wouldn't have been able to continue. I think that's the point. I think that's the point Moxley's making. Moxley got concussed very early in that match, but he went on to complete that match when he said he was completely effed up. So Mark, I'll ask you, like, hearing Moxley's comments, what are your thoughts after hearing that? And what can change to make this a better situation.
Dave, I always tell you, I'm not a whiner, and I'm not a problem guy. I'm a solution guy. When I hear people make their assessment, I don't dwell on the issue of the problem. I start thinking, damn, what can be done? How can we fix it? And that's where I'm going to start. I'm not going to start with what Moxley said. My solution is exactly what we talked about. And that is having somebody experienced have a full-time job, walking around and talk. Once they get the list of all the matches that's going to happen, I want them to go talk to everybody that's on the show, everybody that's wrestling. I want them to know, hey, I'm going to be watching. If you feel anything different, I want you to look at me, because I'm going to be looking. If I call your match, it's not because I'm trying to ruin your career. You'll be fine. I'm protecting you, and I'm protecting the company. That guy does not exist in pro wrestling. It needs to. Every company needs that guy. And what we're doing here collectively, men, is saving the business and saving some wrestlers' careers. And normally this is where I would say, you're welcome. But this is such a serious moment that I want to commend all of you for doing this, because it's going to happen now. It has to. It would be foolish not to, because you're trying to protect the business. And I feel like all of us combined on this panel right now help add something to the business that might last for another 100 years, man. And I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to go talk to every match. Hey, man, what you doing? What's the chance that you done it before? All right, well, I'll be watching. And then you go out there and you watch every single match that's on the show. And you don't have to critique the show. You have to watch the wrestlers. You're not watching for the entertainment of it. You're watching. Your job is to protect them from themselves. Somebody get a twisted ankle, you can turn to the doctor. He twisted his ankle right there. Keep an eye on him. That job needs to be there. It needs to be in pro wrestling, every company. It will save some careers.
Tommy?
Yeah, I'm just taking this all in. I'll tell you this. Chris Nowinski has helped the wrestling industry. I remember getting 3 concussions in a week. And I'm not talking about the past, because this is more of a current thing. The best is like communication. Your referees, and I know they did this in WWE, your referees were there and they told them how to do, and the agents, CPR in case somebody goes into an AFib situation, blah, 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 because we're taking bumps. I think that's great. Communication. When a wrestler, when somebody gets hit, we'll all be like, oh, and then from there, agent, I need you to check on the wrestler to the referee. Needs to be some sort of signal from the referee then to says the referee, the wrestler is fine or the wrestler is not. I'll give an example. It was not a concussion, but it was when a recent incident with Impact and myself, I went through a garbage can and I thought I was stabbed. I was impaled with the garbage can. And everyone, I thought I was going to bleed out. And I stopped for a second. And then the referee was like, are you okay? Oh, my God, are you okay? Okay, referee's kind of panicking. And I'm like, hang on. I rolled out. And then they had, her name is Ingrid, came up to me and said, Scott wants to know if you're okay. And I go, jokingly, tell Scott I've been stabbed before. I'm okay. Because I knew it wasn't as bad as what it looked like. For you, you know, it's an interesting, but it's that communication. But here's the interesting part. We all thought John Moxley got hurt on the driver. And everyone was up in arms on the referee, went all stuff for not kicking out, all that stuff. So he, if you go back and watch that match, it is hard to tell that he was out. Bully, I was there. I knew you took a big bump. And I was like, oh, he's back on his feet. Again, a different time, different situation. For me personally, every time Rob Van Dam, I'd be either on the guardrails or the ropes, would kick a chair into my head, I was getting concussed. Every time. Because now I know what a concussion is. And I joke about it, but I would fight through the concussion. And I told you, it felt like I was on a train and everything was going fast and I would see a light and I would be like, don't close your eyes. And I would come out of the train. So if I go back and watch all of Tommy Dreamer versus Rob Van Dam, I can't even tell you how many concussions that I probably received because it would happen all the time. But my match, you can never tell that that happened. So this is where, like with Chris Nowinski, he said there's certain things like with your arms. There's a conductor cell with your hands. And if they're moving like you're a conductor in the opera where you can't control it. If you remember when Tua Tovalunga went down on Monday night, it was a big uproar. Why? Because they were watching his hands. And everyone's like, oh, this is a real situation. Well, the real situation was he got concussed the week before. There's also stiffness, rigidness in your body where you can't move it. So, yes, there needs to be something in place. I believe, like I said, there is an impact. And then it's like, well, that person can't be moved. But then it is, and it's not wrestlers being tough. It's wrestlers, like Bully said, it's our instinct. But I need this for, because I know a lot of wrestlers listen to this. We had Mikey Whipwreck here. Mikey Whipwreck has said how much he suffers from head injuries. He has to have his home address programmed in his car, or else he's not going to get home some days. He has no concept of time. He said this on this show. I know another wrestler that I've joked about it with. I'm like, yo, what time is it? He's like, I don't know, 3 o'clock. I'm like, dude, it's dark out. It's 10:30 at night. No concept of time. This is because for our generation, we did not learn from these things or have knowledge about concussions, and we still don't have as much, but you have to maybe train your brain in training. There's a difference between toughness and risking your life. And when I say risking your life is, hey, I got my bell rung. I don't want to continue right now. One of the scariest things ever, when Beulah got a concussion on my very own House of Hardcore show. Hey, she said she threw up. She feels like her eyes, it looked like, she said it looked like I'm driving in the rain. She was susceptible to light. She went to the hospital. I said, yeah, you got a concussion. If there's any irregularities with your health, you have to come back. 3 days later, I'll never forget the scream. She went deaf and she thought she was dying. And I had to swoop her up in my arms and fly her to the hospital because she was next level terrified that she was dying from a wrestling spot, which it's not worth dying for. So maybe we also have to program ourselves to, hey, if I get my bell rung, I don't always need to carry on. I've had, for myself, I still can't find the match, me versus Bob Holly on Velocity. No one could find this match. I was unconscious. Well, I was unconscious the entire match. Bob Holly said I was there for every spot, and Bob Holly wasn't calling it for me. Go and watch John Moxley. Go watch Bully Ray's TLC. I knew he took a big bump, but once I saw him get on his feet, I was fine. I was like, yeah, he's fine. He wasn't fine because I saw the aftermath and had to deal with him. If you really want to know about head trauma, and it's why I can't watch certain documentaries about boxers, go look at a boxer's career early and then listen to some of their interviews today where they could barely formulate words. from head trauma. You don't want to end up like that. And this is more for you know, wrestlers. It's a serious, serious thing that we're going to learn more about, but you have to protect yourselves now because you don't want to be in those positions. You don't want to at times have wrestler instinct because it's going to help your, it's going to hurt your long-term health. And we just want to make this business better. Do I think like a person of a job that you're talking about would help? Yes. But then again, I watched the Moxley match. I thought John was fine up until that pile driver. I was like, oh, it's the pile driver. It's Phoenix's fault. It's the ref's fault. No, he got knocked out way earlier. So everyone that passed the blame on those two people, they were wrong. So communication is key with these situations. And then we also know, because I went through training through Chris Nowinski, once that happens, don't touch them. Let them be. Let the doctor get to them, blah, blah, blah. If they could get up on their own power. And there's a big difference between getting your bell rung, getting knocked out, or not knowing where the hell you are. Well, rubbery well, legs. But yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but like to go back to the Moxley situation where Moxley got, you said, concussed early, that everybody was wrong as far as the driver later on that caused the concussion. It was actually earlier in the match. There's nobody there during that course of the match that could tell that Moxley was completely out of it, like from the referee to somebody at ringside?
Dave, I'm going to pull out of the Moxley situation. I'm going to plug myself back into the situation. My concussion was considerably worse than John's. Considerably. Because mine came from a 10-foot fall, 325 pounds from 10 feet in the air, straight onto the front of my head. I'm not better than John or anything like that. I know how bad mine was, and you couldn't tell a damn thing. Not even Tommy could tell.
That's what I'm saying. It's a hard
autopilot. It's this thing that we have in us, whether it's a toughness or just the amount of time. You know, we're fucking Marines, man. You put in a Marine in the shit, and a Marine gets shot. Just like, you know, Ventura said, I ain't got time to bleed. I ain't got time to worry about this concussion. I got a match to finish. You go into this zone. I can't explain it to you, and you would never understand it because you haven't been in the ring like we have and don't understand what goes through you. But the most important thing I can say to a younger wrestler who might be listening today, and I know we're talking about concussions and how they happen in the protocol, yada, yada, but with all these moves out there today that are getting a lot more dangerous and a lot more dangerous, young wrestlers, don't be afraid to say no. Don't be afraid to say no. If you don't feel safe, confident, anything, just say no. Nobody will ever convince me. Not Ric Flair. Ric Flair couldn't convince me to do it. The Rock couldn't convince me to do it. John Cena can't convince me to do it. I'm just using names that are larger than life. If one of those guys, if The Undertaker said, I want to give you the sunset flip powerbomb off the second rope. Nope. Why not, Bubba? Because you're going to knock me out. Because I've had so many concussions that I know the whiplash into the back of my head. Knock me right the fuck out.
Yep. Dave, I mean, honestly, like, I was there. Well, I feuded with Rob Van Dam for a year. We probably did that spot 2 to 3 times a week. And here came that train. And go back and watch. I mean, I have a book. I could probably pull it up of every time that kick happened, that would happen to me. And I think it probably happened on pay-per-view, too. I kind of fought through it. I had one concussion in WWE, and that was versus Bob Holly, completely knocked out. Don't remember anything.
Was it on the Alabama Slam?
No, that's what woke me up. It was on a slap.
Because, listen, it don't matter how tough you are, you get hit right on the button, you're going to go.
And I got one in Impact, and it was exactly what Bully said. I always sometimes guys, or they do a Tower of Doom and I eat the feet, where the suplex and the guy, and I hit the back of my head. I was completely out. And then in my head, I'm like, all right, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? And then like my eyes, I opened my eyes like, oh yeah, I know what I'm doing right now. But I was out. Went back to the hotel room, didn't feel good, blah, 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 blah. I wrestled the next day. Stupid. But I just, and I don't want to say, oh, I'm a different person. I will never take those risks ever again. In the sense of, you know, it's funny. Bully said, I get those same type of where if I take a bump, I get stiff in my neck or I start getting nauseous from Uranagis. I could take flatbacks, but if I get a Uranagi or somewhat like of a choke slam, I feel I get hurt. Or then I also feel like I'm going to puke. And I'm like, I'm not taking them anymore. Huh. Or when people say, hey, I want to do a flippy dive moonsault onto you, I'd be like, cool, I'm not going to catch you. If you want to do a house show or a suicide, I'll be there. If you want to do something else, I'm not going to catch you. So I'm just letting you know. Think of something else or else I'm not doing it. Or you can do it. I'm telling you like a man, I'm not going to catch you, as opposed to the cowards that don't catch people.
Oof.
So I don't want people to, I don't want people whose wives have to program their GPSs for them to get home. I don't want people not to know what time it is. And I don't ever want to, like, you know, hear a blood curdling scream, or your family doesn't want to hear it because you think you're about to die because your brain is bleeding. These are really, really serious things. And I could tell you my very first concussion. I remember it. I remember all of them. But my very first concussion was in training. Me versus Taz. Belly to belly, dead posted on a boxing ring. Pick me up, kick out, shoot, reverse. Instead of reversing, I'm holding his arm and we're going in a circle like we're doing Saturday Night Fever. Mm-hmm. And he stops me, goes, what the fuck you doing? Clotheslined me. And then I rolled out. I threw my guts up, and it was, get out of the ring. And I was like, oh, I don't feel good, blah, blah, blah. And then what did I do? I got back in the ring.
Oh,
right,
man.
Then and there, you're the training. But, dude, this was 1989. We knew nothing about this.
All you knew in 1989 is that if you couldn't get back in the ring, you're a pussy.
Yep. And listen, the business continues to progress, straight up blading. Everybody, if you go back and you watch ECW, none of us were tested. Thank God we go to WWE and we get tested. I used to drink people's blood that was not tested. I've never done drugs, but I probably did more drugs by sucking their blood. I don't want you to puke, Mark, but I'm just telling you. The business will always progress, and this is one of the biggest ones but communication is key. And that first line of defense, what as wrestlers, what do we say? The first line of defense, if a mark's going to hit the ring and try to get you, what do you do? Hey, the referee's got my back. That's cool. Referees need to have our backs. And then your agent, and then the boss, and then it's, hey, just stop the show. Yeah. Also, don't think that there won't be more concussion-related finishes, which will be a work, though. Don't think that won't happen either.
Education, obviously, safety is the key. Gentlemen, this was a deep subject, so I appreciate all the honesty, the stories. Thank you, because I think we can all agree that we want this to progress. We don't want these things to happen, and hopefully there'll be some solution. Because, Mark, you noticed from playing football, I remember back in the day, football practice, you couldn't have a drink until practice was over.
And no,
now it's right.
They wouldn't let you drink.
Wouldn't let you drink until practice was over. It didn't matter if you were cramping or anything. But now we know hydration is the key. It's about education. It's about knowledge. Thank you for listening to the Busted Open podcast, the Master's Class. You can listen to Busted Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to noon Eastern Time on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156. Please subscribe to the Busted Open podcast. You only get the Master's Class here on the Busted Open podcast, so make sure you subscribe. Give us a 5-star rating. Also, all our videos are now available on YouTube, so make sure you subscribe to our YouTube page and click the notification bell so you are aware of every time a new video is posted. For myself, Bully Ray, Mark Henry.
Five-star rating.
Five-star. It's important. It's the only one that matters. For Mark Henry, for Bully Ray, for Tommy Dreamer, we'll talk to you next week right here on Busted Opens, The Master's Club.
Hi, I'm Cyndi Lauper. My scalp was covered with psoriasis, which could lead to psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx treats both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX.
Cosentyx works for me.
Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.